Good morning, New Harvest. Great to be with you this morning. It's a semi-significant day for us on the worship team. My brother back there on bass is now married. That wasn't a joke, Joe. And then Hannah Milner's back on keys. She's been gone for about 6 months. She had child number two back in, was it late October? Early November. Yep. So she's back, and it's great to have her back. And we're excited to worship with you. We have the kids up front. If you're an elementary school kid and you are sitting with your parents, you need to come forward, because we're going to have some fun, and we have some hand motions that you can follow along with. It's great to worship God. I think often we worship God for what he does. And this morning, I really want to focus our worship on who God is. And Psalm 60, verse 12 says that with God, we can have victory. Now, we don't always experience victory in our lives. And so sometimes we think, well, I'm not experiencing the goodness from God. I'm not going to worship him. So this morning, we want to worship for God for what he is, not always how we experience him. We don't always experience the blessing of God's presence all the time in our lives. Sometimes life is hard, but we can still worship God for who he is, that God is victorious. Would you stand with us? Follow along with some hand motions if you want, and we're going to sing together. Craig Keane's going to come up again and lead us in prayer.
When I was asked to pray, I didn't realize they were going to play that song. I love that song. It really stirs my soul, so bear with me if you pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we gather together as a family, just that we have an opportunity to worship you together, God, and as Pastor Tyler was saying earlier, just for who you are and for how accessible you make yourself, and that we even have within our midst, we have your scripture, Father, the literature of eternity, and I just pray for your will to be done here and for us to hold your word, your scripture, in the esteem that you call us to hold it to, for in it are the words of life and the words of salvation, Lord God. And as we move through the rest of our time together as a church, may we just be open to you, humble to you, just hanging on every word of your scripture as it's taught to us. And as we go through other things here this morning, God, may we not lose sight of who you are, what you've placed in our midst, and how accessible you are in each of our lives on a very moment-to-moment basis, Lord. And we just thank you for all this and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So that's a really nice sound, the interaction and the connection and everything. So welcome. So glad you're here with us at New Harvest this morning. The first order of business is to dismiss the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. A young lady named Olivia is going to lead the class today for 6th, 7th, and 8th. So mid-hires, any mid-hires, join Olivia in the back. She'll be delighted to hang out with you. Has some good things to share. I know that for sure. We're excited that we have some guests with us, but they're not guests because they're really partners in ministry. Their names are Matt and Barb Douglas, and let's take a look at a video to introduce their ministry.
G'day, we are the Douglases. We have been serving in Australia since 1994, connected with this church, this place, since the early 90s. So in some ways, it's like being home this weekend. And we do appreciate the opportunity to worship with you today. We are in church planting right now, a church restoration. We took a church that needed to be replanted because they had four buildings, the oldest one from the 1800s, and yet the church had dropped down to three people. So, yes, there was a lot of construction and those kind of things. We have used ministry teams from the U.S., people who wanted to come and give the field a look. And I've been able to do a lot of that work that you saw on there. And the church is growing. We've seen several people saved within the last few months. And we've seen God doing some wonderful things in the church, some baptisms. This last week, we also heard, well, we've been back here, of two deaths. And so, sometimes the church planting and what have you is a little bit of a yo-yo, up and down, up and down. Yet the Lord knows what he's doing. And the church planting is going forward there. We're excited about it. we always invite you to come down and give a look with us. Our theme down there in our church is come and give God another look. That's how we get unsaved people to come and people who are wondering about God. Come, just give God another look. Don't look at the church. Give God a look. We also are involved in C, sport event evangelism, which is a major thing that goes from the U.S. to the large sporting events. You saw in there that I'll be in Russia this year in a few weeks. We just working on the Spanish track last night that we will be using, and we'll have probably about six different languages that we'll be able to work with there and share with people who come to the Soccer World Cup. Barb and I are organizers for the group that will be, head organizers for the group that will be going to Tokyo in 2020. So if you've ever wanted to take about a 10-day missions trip and be involved in evangelism, get to meet people from all over the world. Our last trip to the Summer Olympics, we met people from how many countries?
Was it 106?
Yeah, like 106 countries in 10 days. Talk about a wonderful opportunity. And dozens of people came to Christ and are now being followed up. We've had five people this calendar year who are still reading the tracts we handed out in 2016. Five more people this year have come to Christ and began their follow-up and connection with a local church someplace in the world. And so continue to pray for us as we're involved in those two main ministries. And we look forward to being with you and enjoying a long, fruitful ministry in the years ahead. Our son, who is actually baptized in this church and in the whole works, gets married here in this building Monday week, a week from tomorrow. And so we are excited about our long-term family connections with this group. Thank you so much.
That was great. So glad that the Douglases are in town and they have more reason to be here than just hanging out with us. They get to support their son and their new daughter-in-law as of Monday, named Megan. So that's so cool. Along with that announcement and their introduction, I wanted to also highlight a couple of things in the bulletin. This Saturday, there's something for men and something for women. The men are going to meet at 8 o'clock, our Smart and Ready monthly connection, and then at 9:30, there's a women's breakfast. You can sign up. The women would like to know if you're coming, kind of anticipate how many. Many have signed up already, but if you haven't had a chance and you want to be a part of that at 9:30 this Saturday, that would be fantastic. We are excited about all the new faces that God has been bringing to us over the months, and we wanted to get together and kind of meet each other a little bit more like a group and have lunch together, and that's next Sunday. So if you're newer with us, and you would like to do a lunch in our coffee shop next Sunday at 11:30, we'd love for you to do that. Just put that on the connection card. And by the way, the connection cards are in the pouches in front of you. And the connection cards are used for a lot of good things, like prayer requests, volunteering in various ways. And also, if you're newer with us, we'd love to know about that. And we'll be collecting those just a little bit later. So welcome. I'm glad you're here. Well, I'm feeling really good today. I'm excited about what took place in our family's life just recently. I was away a couple weeks ago honoring the focus of a wedding. And so my son, my youngest son, Trevor, married Devin Endicott, and now Devin Brown, of course. And I'm so delighted because that's sort of a culmination of many prayers. I've had basically two main prayers for my children. I want them to know Jesus. And they have all professed faith in Christ. And you get to see most of them except one that's in Oceanside, California. And that the Lord would lead them to the right mate. And I think I've got some great sons and daughters-in-law. And I really feel like I have eight children now. So I'm expanding. And I guess the thing, I just want to praise God because he answered my prayers in this way, and my heart is full. Praise God. All right. Well, I'm delighted to be able to do a Romans with the track that we've been on, especially where we're landing right now. We're in Romans chapter 12. Some would suggest that Romans 8 is really the monumental chapter, but many would say that Romans 12 is like a close second. And so we've looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2, as Randy spoke 2 weeks ago. Amazing two verses, right? And then verses 3 to 8, Tyler spoke last week, and I get to do the rest of chapter 12. Are you ready? Romans 12, pretty high, pretty deep stuff. Here we go. Romans 12, verse 9. It's on the screen, and it goes like this. I'm just going to read through it. Just kind of listen to this. Take this in. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now you're thinking, okay, that's pretty good for today, right? Let's keep going. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There it is. Now, as I read through that, you're kind of thinking, there's a lot there. Well, some have suggested like reading those 13 verses is like drinking out of a fire hydrant. You know, I mean, it just comes at you pretty fast and furious. And so how are we going to understand this? This is really like, in some ways, oh, how can I get my arms around this? Well, what if we took a look at the whole text and we just kind of like shrunk it down into a wordle? Do you know what a wordle is? It's taking all the words that are in these verses and putting them on the screen like that. That's called a wordle. That's it. And so isn't it interesting? You sort of see some things popping out there, don't you? So I had this question in the notes. And by the way, if you're in elementary, I would love to see if you found all the answers to the blanks on the back of the bulletin. That would be fantastic for me. I would like to know that. No pressure, though. If you don't want to do it, big deal. But anyway, here we go. The first fill in the blank is found in this wordle. What is the key word in our 13 verses? Guess what it is? Another. It could be one another because they're the same size, aren't they? And when they're big like that, that means they're repeated more often, right? So we have another, and that makes a lot of sense to me. And I thought about that as I read through this, and I thought about it, and I prayed, and I studied, that another is like the theme. And so what is the title? It's not about me. It's about another. That's the idea. Now, you see some other words in there, like love, and people, and everyone, and bless, but you know they all point to that middle word, another. So with that theme in mind, it's not about me. Let's do a little review. Just a review kind of helps us to see that this has been building up to these very challenging words, really. We began in verse 1 with in view of God's mercy, right? In view of God's mercy. That's a very important phrase because it takes the message that Romans has been presenting for 11 chapters and then it says, now we're going to go from there. Because of the mercy of God, how he has been so kind to us, we, you know, then move through life with that in mind. So in view of God's mercy means that we're chosen by God. That's a merciful thing. we didn't deserve it. He chose us. And that we're forgiven of our sins. We couldn't do that. And that we're made right in his sight through faith. And that's a gracious thing that he did. So right away, in view of God's mercy, we know it's not about me. It's about God's mercy. So that starts us thinking. And then we go to verse 2 when we read this. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a pretty important phrase. The sense of transformation is this change that God brings about within. And the change happens as we have the right things, the truthful things, God's word, in our mind. And that's what transforms us. The Holy Spirit uses that. So I put this in my notes. The influence of God's word and his spirit will change the default mindset of self to others. The default mindset in my life is to think about me. That's what I think about. And you think about yourself also. But how could that be changed? What if the Holy Spirit would be transforming in such a way as that one of the first things I would think about is you? Well, that's what I think maturity looks like. The transformation, becoming more like Christ, it points me to others. It's not about me. There it is again. And how about this verse in verse 3? Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Does that say it? That leads us right into these various words of challenge and direction that we read in verses 9 to 21. So our secure position, because of God's mercy, leads us to a place of freedom and even sacrifice in giving to others. That's the message, and it comes out in various ways. I would suggest to you that a theme that could go along with another is humility. Humility. And so I use it throughout, and I think in my study that these verses are presenting humility from start to finish. Number one. Oh, and by the way, just thought of this. Why did I use those shoes? Well, I thought about bare feet, but toes are ugly. So I went with, that maybe would have been better, but feet of clay or made from the dust of the ground, that kind of thing. Showing that from the very beginning, it was God's work to bring life, and that by just looking at things honestly, you and I should be the humblest people on the earth because we could never make our way to heaven. We're just people with feet of clay, and he has saved us by grace. Keep that in mind. Number one, love in humility. Love in humility. That's the first paragraph, really. That's what I noticed. And isn't it interesting that in verse 9 of 13 verses, excuse me, that the first word is love. But it's not interesting. That's pretty common. Love is often the first thing that we think about. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit, you know that one? Love, joy, peace, patience. First word, love. Or this idea in 1 John, it says that God loved us first. First love. It's we love because he first loved us. That idea. Or it says also in 1 John that God is love. And what we need to know about that is that his primary characteristic, his primary character trait is love. He's the source of love, and his love motivates us. So that's kind of like the launch. We have experienced God's love, and it flows through us. That's the idea. So this word love is really mentioned three times in these first couple verses. And you might not notice it as much, but it's right there. And it's three different words in the Greek language that maybe you're familiar with. The first word is agape. Second word is phileo. And it actually has the full kind of Philadelphia, brotherly love. And then it's the word sterge, or the root of the word sterge. And so the idea here is love is mentioned in these verses, and the best translations include all of them. Love, agape, must be authentic, and then, or sacrificial, or giving. And then the next one is brotherly love. That's the side-by-side kind of love, the supportive love, the connecting relational love. And then it's the word for affection. affection. Did you have that in your translation? The NIV doesn't. Not good. It should be there. Affection is this family sense of it. Being a part of the body of Christ as Christians, we have love for each other. In fact, the Lord said, you remember this? You know this. The Lord said that they will know that you're my followers by your love for each other. And that's really that paragraph. That paragraph is about the community of faith. And so love is first. Love means expecting nothing in return. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love never fails. Love is first. So when my family got together for the wedding, my daughter and son-in-law came from Oceanside, and she shared something very endearing to me. It was really so special. She said that growing up with me as her dad, that she experienced unconditional love. Now, when she was growing up, she didn't say that, but as she looked back, she noticed that. She said that out loud. And you know what? That's absolutely true. I did it imperfectly, but my love for her was unconditional. That's what love means. And so here we are in a family setting. A father to a daughter? Yes, marvelous. I love that she said that. That was such an affirmation. And she said that it's caused her to feel a sense of stability, knowing that she was valued by her dad. But here we are in the community of faith. And it's that kind of love that is presented here. This message about family love is really this paragraph. Look at verse 13. What does family love look like in verse 13? Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Really practical. Really giving of ourselves to each other. It's that kind of idea. But you know what? I find myself running dry on love pretty quickly. I don't know. I just like, I release love and I kind of go, whew, that's all I've got, you know? And so what do I need? I need to be replenished. And so there it is in the text, verse 11 and 12. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. I need spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I need spiritual fervor, and I need this connection with God, this consistent connection with God, faithful in prayer. My cup will only overflow as the flow of God is coming into my life, and I can share it with you, and you can share it with me. That's the body life of this paragraph. It's talking about this affection that we have, this sacrifice we're willing to give. We want the best for each other, and we'll do anything to make it happen. Now, that's challenging, right? But the next paragraph takes it a step further, let me suggest, with this idea, attitude of humility. Now, when I read verses 14 to 17, I'm challenged more than even that first paragraph about loving each other. Let's take a look again. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now, when I read that, it takes this enjoying connection that we have in the body of Christ that I love and I'm enriched by, and I want to share one to another, and it goes to a deeper level, doesn't it? It's more challenging to me. And it's so interesting how the wording is in these verses. It's sort of hidden. I'll give you a hint on really what the key is on this deeper kind of love. There was a couple of ladies, one Mrs. Botnick and Mrs. Krasnick, and they hadn't seen each other in years. And when they got together, they were ready for a conversation. And what is the first thing that moms want to talk about? Their kids. And so Mrs. Botnick asked, "Tell me, what happened to your son?" "My son. Oh, what a misfortune," moaned Mrs. Kresnik. "He married a girl who doesn't lift a finger around the house. She can't cook. She can't sew a button on a shirt. She all she does is sleep late. My poor boy brings her breakfast in the morning, and all day long she stays there, loafing, reading, eating candy." "How terrible," says Mrs. Botnick. "But what about your daughter?" "Ah, my daughter. Oh, my daughter. Such good fortune," Mrs. Kresnik, beaming. "She married a man, an angel. He won't let her set foot in the kitchen. He gives her a full-time maid and a cook and a laundress. And every morning he brings her breakfast in bed, and he makes her stay in bed all day, relaxing, reading, and eating chocolate. Mazel tov." Well, you caught it. Our outlook is so significant, and it's woven into these verses, the sense of our thinking and how we perceive things and what our attitude would be. You see, our thinking shapes our attitude. Now watch this. You hardly even notice in the NIV translation the meaning of these phrases, like live in harmony. You know what that live in harmony literally means? A mindset for harmony. No kidding. It says think with others in mind. Think with harmony in view. It's that kind of idea right from the beginning. Not only that, look at this. Do not be proud. You know what that means? Literally. It means exactly this. Do not cherish proud thoughts. That's the word. You can see it right in the Greek language. The meaning of that is how you think. If you have proud thoughts, you become arrogant and your attitude will be such. Do not be conceited means do not keep thinking how wise you are. And we've already talked about that. Don't think too highly of yourself. Right there, this thinking, but not done yet. Four times, the word about your mind and how you think is mentioned from verse 14 to verse 17. Four times. Here's the last one. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, which seems like amazing. And so what does be careful mean? Guess what? It means to think beforehand. Honestly, look at your ESV translation, and it'll read, give thought to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. There it is. These hidden truths are crucial because they have to do with your thinking. And if your thinking gets off, then, you know, everything's up for grabs. But if your thinking is riveted on humility, your attitude is shaped by your way you think, and you want to be in step with what God is about, possibilities. How in the world am I going to be able to bless those who persecute me? How are you going to do that? Verse 14. I mean, that is not natural. You know what I mean? I don't think about, that guy was really mean to me. I think I want to bless him. No, that's not my first thought. It isn't. And you're going, why not? Because I had the wrong thinking. That's right. I had the wrong thinking about what I should expect from someone, what needs to happen, because I'm thinking about me. And so this is very important. So here it is. In verse 14, the word bless means speak well. It's the word eulogia, eulogy. Speak well of those who persecute you. How am I going to do that? It'll be about my mindset, my attitude. How will I be able to be grateful for another's success? A mindset of humility. How will I be able to come along people that are broken and hurting? It'll be directed towards, my response would be initiated by my mindset. How about this? How will I be able to do good to others in the face of their evil. It'll be your and my mindset. Is my mind fixed? Are my thoughts fixed on what Christ is about and the transforming work of his word and his truth in my life that spills out with humble living? That's what it does. When you are being transformed, when I am being transformed by God's presence and his word in my life, you know what happens? Humility. I have a heart to serve. I care about you as much as I care about myself. Isn't this like so much? So give thought. Give thought. That's the idea. So focus on what is right and true. Have the mindset of humility so that you can do what is right for everyone, even those who persecute you. Are we done now? We're not, because we're going to go to another level. I'm not kidding. It's number three, action with humility. Action with humility. This is how it ends. These last verses, they have enough that, I mean, these in and of themselves would be like drinking from a fire hydrant, really, at least for me. And I think of verse 18 more than any other verse. I don't know why. It just comes to my mind. Some reason God put this, I have this verse memorized in my mind, and it comes to my mind too often because I don't want to respond this way, naturally, in and of myself. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Now, is that ridiculous? That's what I say to myself. So I'm like, come on, Lord, what are you? And then I think Jesus would do that verse. Yeah, actually, he did do that verse. So this is the idea. This is so challenging to me. So I want you to write it down. That's the idea, that line. Write it down. Kind of think about it. It's this way of living that's contrary to my natural instinct. My natural instinct is when I get hurt, I want to avoid. I want to run away. And then I have this tendency to hang on to things, hang on to a hurt. It kind of comes up to my mind. Look what they did that last time. Whew. And I hang on to it, and I have this, I get kind of stuck with negative thoughts. And this verse is so convicting to me. It's so convicting to me. I'm not saying I've done this 100% of the time. No, you see, love can get squeezed out of my life. How about you? Love can get squeezed out of my life, and I want what I want when I want it. Instead of thinking about what's going on in that person's life that's making it so difficult for them. Their situation must be overwhelming. They must be really edgy. They must have had a poor childhood. There must be a lot of things. Let it go and forgive. I was asking someone, tell me a circumstance in your life where the Bible gives you permission not to forgive. Got any? There isn't any. There isn't any circumstance you can come up to me afterwards and say to me, but listen, Pastor, I've been in this situation and this is what happened to me and this is... No, there is not one situation, not one, because Jesus set the example. Forgive. And then it says in verse 19, and release it to God. Isn't that what it says in verse 19? Release the hurt, the injustice, whatever the situation, and leave it in God's hands. Because he'll work justly 100% of the time, in his timing, in the best way, for that person, entrusted to him. So it calls us essentially to love my enemies. And so it says these words here in verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. So something tangible. Tangible love right there, right? And so doing, you'll be heaping burning coals on his head. And what does that mean, to heap burning coals on his head? Well, the idea is that burning coals would melt something, a hard heart. You see, the coals, the burning coals, is like this place of repentance. We're through, like Romans 2:4, the kindness of the Lord leads to repentance. Repentance is to turn, to realize that I've been going this way, that I've been a hurtful person, and it moves in a different direction. burning coals is this: with kindness, God may touch their heart, and he might use you to do it because you are kind to them. It is not natural. No one thinks, I've been really mean to you, you should be nice to me now. No one thinks that. They know, they push away. There's a lot of hurt. There's hard hearts everywhere we go. And what will melt their heart? That me being right back at them? No, that's not going to make any difference. But my kindness that God gives me, sharing with them, that can make a huge difference. Do you see this progression? We got the body of Christ here, and there's that love, and that's challenging, of course. But then we go a little deeper, and we're talking about the brokenness of our world being humble and coming underneath and doing what's right in the eyes of everyone. And then we go a step further, and those that are mean to you, even your enemies, that you would give also love. It goes like one step another. It's like I feel like I'm wading into a pool. And I get into the pool, and I'm about waist deep, and I'm kind of feeling that this is okay. I feel all right. I'm pretty safe at waist deep, and I'm with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and I know they have my best in mind, and I have their best in mind. It's all right. I'm going to be loving, and you'll be loving back, right? And we'll be loving together. Ooh, this is so nice. And then we move in a little deeper into the pool, and all of a sudden, the water's getting a little higher like this. And I'm like about right here, you know, and I just want to keep my nose and mouth above water. That's what I want to do, because right now it's really hard to care about the broken, and it's hard to give my life in sacrifice for others, but I'm willing to do it because that's what you would do, Jesus, and I can still breathe. It's not terrible, but it's pretty tough. I'm not that. And then the Lord takes me to verses 18 to 21, and he throws me into the deep end, and I can't swim. That's it. I'm in the deep end with this stuff. And I need grace, because I have to ask myself, is love real or not in my life? Is there genuine humility in my life? Am I going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus with his help and strength to do what he would do in this world? It's one thing to have WWJD on your arm or bracelet. It's another thing to actually do it. This is so challenging. You can't, in fact. When I read these words, they're the humbling words that I read in most of the scripture, because I can't do it. Isn't that humbling? I can't do it, but Jesus can. Isn't that a surrender? That is so humbling for me, so humbling. In fact, remember what Jesus said? Matthew 5, he's kind of culminating as he's speaking to some of the religious leaders and presenting his sermon in the Sermon on the Mount. He says this in verse 39 of Matthew 5. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. I'm slowing down because I can't read the words. These stupid tears. It causes his son to rise on... I should have this memorized. Rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? And he speaks this to the religious leaders, because they are trying to justify themselves by how well they were doing, how good they were matching up. We have fulfilled the law. And Jesus says, oh yeah? You fulfilled the law? Well, let me give you a little more law. This is the law. And if you're going to try to get right by doing the law, you have to do this. And guess what? Guess what they knew? What they knew. Just like you know, I can't do that. I can't do that. That's where he wanted them to be. I can't do that. He's throwing them into deep end and they're drowning right before him and they get pretty mad about it. That's the message. The message is, I can't do this. This is the humblingest kind of text. When I read that, it's humbling. I'm humbled by it. I can't do it. But grace can. Because grace was given to me and I didn't deserve a lick of it. And when I'm looking at an enemy, they don't deserve anything either. But because of grace, I give it anyway. That's the message. Grace flowing in my life. Now, I don't have this all sorted out. But I want to leave you with a little illustration. It'll probably stick in your mind. Brought my knife with me. See? You'll remember this part anyway. I got my knife and everything. And I wish my son-in-law was here because he just chopped this carrot up like nobody's business. But here's the deal. You got a knife in your hand. You don't know it. You do. You have a knife. And what you want to do with the knife when someone is treats you poorly or is hurtful or you're just angry, you want to use it, don't you? You do. And it sounds like, oh, that's so drastic. Well, I'm not talking about a real knife. I'm talking about your words. I'm talking about your thoughts. I'm talking about your action. You want to go, you jerk. Like the person that was zooming right by me as I'm trying to emerge. They're at least 100 yards behind me. Zoom right on by me. I'm going, just what Jesus would do, right? No. So I have a knife in my heart and my hand, and I can wield it. Or I can ask the Lord in sincerity to transform what he wants me to do with this energy. He wants me to love. He wants me to give. And so instead of wielding my knife, I use it. You want a carrot? See, I gave my energy to the Lord, didn't I? I said, God, I didn't like that when that guy cut me off. Dear Lord, I didn't like it when that person talked to me so rudely. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Boom, boom, boom. Would you like a carrot? Will the worship team come? Did you need a carrot? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And so you demonstrate what Jesus would do. The communion meal is amazing at this point in our gathering. It's an amazing opportunity because guess what? I know just like my thoughts about the person zooming by me in a car half my size that I had the wrong attitude. I wanted to retaliate. I wanted to get up even and stuff like that. That is wrong. That is sin. And the communion meal invites me and says, no, I understand. I know. And I died for that sin so we could be refreshed and renewed and forgiven and start again knowing this text and wanting the Lord to fill me again with his love and shape my attitude like his. The communion meal is a place of beginning again. With forgiveness and dedication, I invite you to take a cracker, dip it in the juice, representing the body and blood of Christ, the new covenant for the forgiveness of your sins and the message of living in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's also elements in the back and gluten-free. Will you please stand? I did forget about the connection card, and it's such a great way for us to know what's going on. I know Larry and Nancy are in the back. They'll probably have a basket or something as you leave, or you can hand me your connection card and I'll get it to where it's supposed to be. We really like to know about the newcomer's lunch and about prayer requests and new people. So apologize for not inviting them to come up, but right now it probably be not the best time to do that. But Dave and Cindy Bargavis and Janet and Mary Jean are available up front, and they would love to pray with you for anything that might personal or whatever. Maybe today you realized, I've been trying to match up to God and I'm always falling short. I need help. I need forgiveness. I need Jesus. They'd love to pray with you to help you to make that first step of putting your faith in Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. So glad that we get to be together in this place, honoring your name, learning from your word, worshiping you, and coming to a place of real surrender because, Lord, we can't do this without your help. So we want to be on a journey and step with you, empowered by you, and we pray, Lord, that you'll fill us with your spirit. You'll use us in all the ways you have in mind. Lord, we'll have a mindset that is right, riveted on you, and good things will happen. Good things will be a part of our lives as you flow through us. We want that to be so. We pray to be so. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Have a great week.